Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lesbian Mommies Radio. Hope you had an amazing 4th of July weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Monday night. Tonight, we're going to talk about parenthood as a single lesbian mom. I actually got a request from a listener. So I found a friend of my wife's, actually, that did this very thing. So she graciously accepted my invitation to be on the show, so I'm super excited to share this with you, because luckily I haven't had to do this, but I can only imagine. When I was, 33, I had just ended another relationship, and so here I was in my mid-30s, kind of facing this dilemma for myself, because I didn't know that I was going to meet anyone and have a relationship quick enough to get me to the age where I could still have children. So my cutoff, I kind of had like a deadline. It was like 35. If I'm single at 35, I'm doing this on my own. And luckily I met my wife shortly thereafter, and as good little lesbians, we were living together within 6 months, and it all worked out. But that doesn't always happen, right? So sometimes you find yourself 35 or up, and we all have the fear that, you know, you're not going to get pregnant when you're older, or there's less of a chance, and so there's this urgency to get pregnant. So I know some of you may be in that position, and so it'd be awesome to hear the story of someone that has gone before you. So Susie Theron is on the show today, so I'm very excited to have her share her experience with you. And I want to thank listener Heather for this week's topic suggestion. Very good one. All right, so let me introduce Susie. Susie had her daughter 2 years ago, just months before turning 40. In true lesbian form, she is a baller, having played college basketball in California, followed by a year of professional ball overseas. She's very dedicated to her career, working for the Bank of Utah for 17 years. In her free time, Susie still kicks booty on the basketball court, and when not chasing her 2-year-old, a very outgoing 2-year-old around. Susie, welcome to the show, and I am so sorry I cannot talk today.
No problem.
So welcome to the show. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
So take us back to where you were when you were kind of having to make this decision for yourself about, and I don't know, maybe it was not even a hard decision for you, but what was it like for you deciding to go this alone?
It was definitely similar to your situation. You know, you always have that 35, 36 date in your head, because that's definitely for fertility, that's kind of when it starts to drop quite a bit. So I always had that age mark in my head as well, around 35, 36, and my relationship actually ended at just a little bit over 35, and I knew that was the time. If I was going to have kids, that was the window to do it. I did not want to look at starting a new relationship with anybody else, and you know, waking up 42, 43, and I missed out on that window of opportunity. So that was definitely my focus near 35, that was something I wanted to do, and I had prepared myself that it's going to have to be single. It is, but I just didn't want to have any regrets that I didn't try.
Got it. So then how did you go about starting? What was the process like for you?
In my situation, you know, you have friends that they know someone, or they have gay friends, or even straight friends that are willing to donate sperm. In my situation, I did not have anything like that. It's definitely inexpensive that way, the turkey baster way, but in my situation, it was getting through the sperm bank and going that way, route.
Got it. So you had all your fertility testing done, everything looked good.
Started out, did all the tests, got all clear, everything looks great, you have a beautiful uterus, all that good stuff, and started out with the IUIs. In my situation, the third IUI, third try was the charm, it took, unfortunately miscarried at 8 weeks. And then started more IUIs, trying again and again.
And then what happened? Because I know it was quite a journey for you.
It was a 4-year journey. It was a long time. After about probably 13 IUIs, I went to IVF, and I did an IVF, did get pregnant at 7 weeks, unfortunately had a miscarriage there again.
Oh my God.
Yep, and went back trying. I did a few more IUIs. Clomid, I can warn everybody, Clomid does make you go crazy. It's probably good sometimes to be single when you're on Clomid because you don't drive your partner absolutely insane. But I can tell you that compared to IVF, Clomid is definitely the one that makes it's the hardest, definitely on the emotionally and physically. But IVF went that route. Definitely looked into all options, but this was on, I had ended up with two miscarriages, and I'd probably say at least 16 IUIs, and on my third IVF, I was blessed to get pregnant, and that was when I was 39 years old.
Gosh, that is crazy. That
yes.
Three IVF.
It was definitely trouble and a saga. And my last, actually, after that third IVF, I was definitely looking into that time because my issue was not necessarily like anything. It was basically just I had old eggs. The eggs weren't kicking like they were. And after that third IVF, I think I'd finally come to terms that that was my last hurrah. And maybe that took psychologically some stress off me that it took. But my next option, I had looked into surrogacy. And when I was looking into that, I ran into a doctor that I really liked here in Utah. And he talked to me about egg donation. And I never even considered that. I never even knew about it. You know, I figured that was something that's going to be $80,000 like surrogacy. But come to find out, it really is only about $4,000 to $5,000 more than IVF. And I think I had come to terms that if that third IVF didn't work, that was definitely something I was going to look into with egg donation. And, you know, then if you're able to carry a child that's just your eggs, then you are able to carry, you know, a 22-year-old's egg and get someone that's similar to your qualities, your personality, your looks. But I think I'd come to terms that that was my next step. But on my third IVF, I was blessed.
Wow, that's amazing. I hadn't heard that about egg donation. That's really cool. I mean, I knew that existed, but I didn't realize that it was not much more expensive than IVF. So
it was mind-blowing to me. Yeah, it really was mind-blowing because, you know, surrogacy, you hear 70,000, 80,000 could be up to paying all the medical bills. And I had looked into adoption. I was actually signed up for adoption as well. After a lot of, with adoption, I think being a single parent with adopting, unfortunately, you have the risk of you know, having a mother that smokes. And I think the percentage is very high, 85 to 95%. And you have to be prepared that at my situation being single, I was not in a situation to take on a child with special needs. I was, or issues, or you know, weaning off drugs or something. And so, if you look at egg donation, when it really is only, and I say is only, but $4,000 to $5,000 more, it actually IVF with egg donation was less than adopting here in Utah, which was just something that I don't know about. And so I've shared it with some of my friends that are having issues with their eggs being too old, but this is a route you can go, and you can still carry the baby. And also, you're nurturing your body. You know you're being healthy. You know you're exercising. You know you're getting all the nutrients the baby needs. And it might be another option besides adoption.
That's brilliant. Thank you for mentioning that one, because I hadn't thought about that for myself. But that's great, because that's my has been my concern with adoption too, is that you don't know if this woman, like you said, smoking or doing drugs or eating well, you know, anything.
Yeah, there could be ones that you get. I mean, it's rare that you get the cute little 16-year-old that goes to church every Sunday that accidentally got knocked up and you get her healthy baby. But it is a route to go. Or I've had friends that have used their partner's eggs, that they have had a passion to carry the baby. They've used their partner's eggs. Another option, but again, not a huge. When you're looking at the dollar bill sign, it is crazy that it actually is less money than to adopt, at least here in Utah. You know, I don't know in California or being a foster parent, but it is less.
So now when you're on this four-year fertility journey, what was that like being single? Now, were you single the whole time? And then if so, like, what did you do as far as support? Because it is such a, I mean, it's a roller coaster. And there's times when you're just like screaming at the heavens, you know? So I'm just curious what that was like for you handling it emotionally, being single.
100%. Going through infertility, you know, it can be the depression, the miscarriages. It's hard. And I did have family support. I had wonderful friends support, the ones that I had shared it with. I'm not one to tell a lot of people my story when I'm going through struggles. I keep it in. But in a way, I think it was better than for my situation than if I would have had a partner there, because it was so up and down. It really, really would have caused some struggles in my relationship, I know. But then I would have also had that support. So, you know, it can go either way. It would have been awesome to have someone there holding your hand when you're getting a DNC for a miscarriage and doing those types of things. But it also, I think, it saved from if I had jumped into another relationship and would have gone through that, it just would have been a mess. That's for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. So third IVF was a success. You got pregnant. How was the pregnancy?
The pregnancy, actually, luckily I did great. Just, you know, I never had morning sickness, knock on wood. I've had friends who've had morning sickness for 3 months, and bless their hearts, I admire them with what they went through. But just the low back pain and just your normal tired, but definitely had a good pregnancy for being 39 years old at the time.
Awesome. And was the birth, any problems with the birth, or did that go pretty smoothly too?
With the birth, did you say?
Yeah.
With the birth, you know, I can shout this out to everybody as well. I unfortunately had an intern that did my epidural, and I can recommend to everybody listening, do not let the intern, even though it was his last night, and he'd just gotten a full-time job, but it was his last night of internship, and he did my epidural. And there is a point, and this is after 14 hours of labor, they finally did the epidural. And unfortunately, there is a point in an epidural that if you go too far, it leaks spinal fluid into your brain. And he went too far. So, and they knew immediately, so they could warn me what was coming. And then probably about 5 minutes after he did that, the cord had dropped. And it was just like the show ER. They were nurses on top of me, trying to push the baby up in, rushing me. And I think probably within 7 minutes, they had my little girl out. But everything was good, but it was very, very scary. On the epidural issue, within about 6 hours is when the issues hit me. And it feels like you've been hit by a train. And the only way to take away the pain is if you lay flat, which really isn't convenient when you have a newborn. So to fix it, they have to do another needle, basically another epidural into your back to try to plug it up with blood, and it's called a blood patch. And I got to set the record at the hospital for having 3 of those over a 7-day period of time to fix the issue. So I think
wow.
I was blessed with an easy pregnancy. And then I paid the price those 2 weeks after the baby, which was unfortunate because that's that's a very important time to spend with your newborn. But I had great family help that was there for me through that process. But that was really my little 2 weeks of hell hiccup, and then we got that situation fixed. But I just say I know there's good interns out there, but when you have – struggled for 4 years to have that little kid, you know, or everything we go through as lesbians to have a child, I say just ask for the best. We deserve
it. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So there you are. You have a baby girl, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're starting life as a single parent. So talk a little bit about how you manage that, because I know, obviously, there's maternity leave, and then you're going back to work, and I'm guessing dealing with childcare. Maybe you had family that was able to take care of it. Just talk about that process and what that's like as a single mom taking that on.
I did have family support, not where I had like a mother that could come down every day and help me, which would have been awesome. But I did have family support that helped me through that time. But I did have a nanny lined up. I'm kind of the red personality, OCD. So I did have everything lined up for when I had her for to make sure I had the help there right away. But I'm blessed enough that I could have the nanny there. Which she would work 8 to 5, and then I would be there, which was good during that 2-week period of time when I was really sick. But work, I was able, I had 4 months of sick leave, but to get away from my job, I took off about 6 weeks, just to have that bonding time and to recover. As a single mom, when you don't have that partner to help you be there, I definitely had my child on a schedule. And I know a lot of people are very anti-schedule. I needed to have a scheduled baby to be able to survive. I needed my sanity to be a healthy mom for my little girl. A book called Baby Wise, very scheduled. You know, you fed at certain times. And by following that, I definitely knew. I had her sleeping through the night very early on. I knew when she ate. I knew that time that she might get a little fussy. And I was lucky not to have a colicky child, but very scheduled. I mean, I was leaving parties at 7 o'clock, and people were calling me, or little barbecues or family get-togethers. And people are saying, what are you doing? Don't do it. But they don't realize that if you don't leave at that time to, you know, get that baby down or get – who's going to be up with her at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning yep. when – You know, and that they're not the ones going to be there. So you do make sacrifices, but, you know, those sacrifices gave me sanity to get, you know, sleep through the night, get her sleeping early on, but definitely very, very scheduled. I mean, I wrote down everything and was very lucky that she took to it. And now I have a 2-year-old that sleeps 9 to 9. So I got to say, the scheduling worked for me. And I am not an early bird person, so that scheduling, I just had to do it as a single mom, but it was I will say that I was probably no fun during that time, but definitely I had my sanity at night.
Which is so important when you just, I obviously have not had a children, haven't had a child. I don't know what it's like to not get sleep. I've just heard my friends talk about it, and it just sounds brutal. When you're just up constantly and you can't sleep during the day because it's the daytime and the way. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just amazing that you did it. You said the book was called Baby Wise.
Yeah, Baby Wise. I highly recommend it. I had a friend that had twins and she had followed it. And it's excellent, excellent book that saved me. And I followed it to a T and it was great. And I was very glad it was recommended to me because it fit my personality. It worked. I mean, I looked ridiculous, though. I mean, you'd have a little chart out that said the baby ate at 3, the baby ate at 6. But, I never had to deal with the fact of too much crying because they were hungry. I would have probably breastfed if it wouldn't have been for my incident with the epidural. So because I couldn't really breastfeed after that, we did bottle. And I do know... If you end up doing a bottle, you can get a little bit more on a schedule because you know exactly how much they're eating. But obviously, breastfeeding you can do as well. But that opportunity didn't come my way because of the situation.
Wow. So that whole epidural thing was the reason why you weren't able to breastfeed?
Yeah, you had to lay basically flat to have no pain. Yeah, so it was a little awkward and extremely nauseous, extremely. Mm-hmm. I can't even say a positive came out of it, but if we mm-hmm. have to find one small, small positive is I lost 19 pounds in probably, I don't know, 9 days. So I guess it
hilarious.
Saved me a little gym membership. It saved me, but.
Yeah.
If I had to weigh 100 more, I would have taken 100 pounds more than what it was.
Gosh, that's so crazy that epidural was just that disruptive.
Yeah, something you never hear of. No, nobody'd ever heard of it, but it actually does happen. And then when you get online and you look at it, you see all these people that go through those issues, and you'd never even think of it, that is a risk. It's kind of like one of those risks they tell you. And I remember the doctor saying, it never happens. And then right. when the intern did it, he knew it. And he's like, okay, you remember when I said that never happens? It just happens. So I had some bad luck there.
Wow.
Okay, so as a full-time working mom and being able to play basketball, have a social life, all of that, just curious how you manage that and any like tips you would have for women that are doing that on their own.
Yeah, it's, you know, those first few weeks, I mean, even with my incident, I mean, they would have been hard. I mean, it's getting up throughout the night, and then especially when you have to go to back to work. I'm sure most people get at least a few weeks off, but when you go back to work, you're working all day long, and then you come home, and it's just you, you know, depending if they went to daycare or nanny, it's just you and that little baby, and it can be exhausting, but it's also so rewarding, so, so rewarding, and, you know, when I was going through the really, really hard times, and just thinking, I just got to get through this. I know my friends always just said, you know, that had children, my high school friends would always just say, oh, I can't even remember those times. And I'm like, how could you forget this? This is the hardest thing ever. And what's funny is now she's two and I can't remember those times. It just goes. I mean, you could have a night where you're crying, you're thinking, I just got to get through this night. But It does pass. If when it does happen, it does pass, and it is just, it's a miracle, and it's the 4 years of hell I went through, the miscarriages, the expense, everything, it's all a blur because it was everything was worth it for her.
So crazy. Now, speaking on the financial side of things, I think, you know, that was definitely one of my concerns was, you know, it's expensive, otherwise you try to get pregnant. And then if you have any challenges, it gets really expensive. And then you think about maternity leave and all of this stuff. So did you have any considerations for that? And or what would you recommend to women that are in a position where, you know, cost is something that they have to think, or money is something they have to think about?
Right. I mean, I was... I'm lucky. I mean, I've been a saver since I was 5 years old, so I did have savings. I will not say it was fun writing those checks each time,
yeah.
Especially you get an IVF bill after you just had a miscarriage. It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
I don't want to freak anybody out, but I was about $93,000 total. But that was three IVFs as well. And my each IUI was probably about 900 to 1,000. So it does add up. I can't, it would be definitely hard financially if I would not have had that savings. I mean, it drained me, but
yeah.
Financially, if I wouldn't have had that, you know, taking out a loan, I can imagine taking out a loan or making payments on if you did have a failed pregnancy, it's hard. You know, I had friends who, again, had a male or a friend that was donating sperm. I mean, that's obviously, that comes with pluses and minuses, but it's certainly a lot cheaper for a guy to come over the house and you have the turkey baster. And I mean, that I kept writing checks every month and I see them and, you know, no expense whatsoever except buying some dinner. So it does add up, but you know, in hindsight, you wish you knew, like if you tried, let's say, 12 IUIs and you've just dropped $11,000 or 10 or how much, you just wish, well, dang it, I should have just done IVF up front. And, you know, because your percentages go so high up with IVF, you have a lot higher percentage to get pregnant, and you may have actually produced enough eggs to save enough to have another try or another try after that. So, hindsight, you wish you knew. I mean, yeah, people that get pregnant on the first try, people that get pregnant on the third. I was hopeful because I had gotten pregnant on my third try that it, you know, I knew I could get pregnant, and that is a hopeful sign, even though I did lose a child. But you just don't know. So you spend so much, and then you go to IVF, and then, or you go to Clomid, and then you go to IVF. And I think just to the point, I was in it so much financially, emotionally, everything. I wasn't to that point of giving up yet. I was lucky to have that savings, or that give up point would have been a lot sooner. But you know, you can't go into debt $100,000 over something that you don't know. But I had that opportunity where I just had to keep trying and see. And I was on close to my last hurrah with my last time that I did get pregnant. And again, like I said, psychologically, you don't know. I was also signed up for adoption. I don't know. I just maybe thought, they always say, you know, that people sign up for adoption and they get pregnant. And I was definitely looking into the egg donation. So I don't know if I took some of that stress off, but I tried everything under the moon. I did the acupuncture. I did everything they tell you to try to get pregnant, you know, prior to that. And it was just getting down to the point where how much more of this can I actually do?
Oh, seriously. We actually got pregnant the first time. And it's true, like you're saying, that you get pregnant early, you think, oh, okay, you have this hope that it'll happen
mm-hmm.
again, you know, soon. Mm-hmm. And then it's 2 years later, you're still not
right,
pregnant.
And where did that 2 years go? I mean, it's like you blinked, and that's 2 years of life. And, yeah, that was the same with me. It's like a blink, and I'm like, I mean, look back, I did that for 4 years. And, you know, IVF, I gave myself the shots, and it's hard. But, yeah, some people get pregnant, like I said, on the very first try, and so lucky, so blessed. I mean, it's amazing how all these children in this world, when you really look at that, it has to be the perfect time for the egg, the perfect time for the sperm to meet the egg. I mean, it's just a miracle that it's so easy for some people, yet unfortunately sometimes timing, it's hard for others.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It really has to be like the perfect moment, and yet all these people get pregnant on accident. I have a friend who
yes.
has sex one time with her husband. Yep. She's so fertile.
Yeah, that one night stand at the bar. They go and have that one night stand at the bar, and it had to be that exact timing, and they're pregnant.
So I want to talk dating as a single lesbian mom. What was that like?
I didn't consider it about 4 months, 5 months in, you know, I was like, okay, I'm open to it. I was very skeptical on letting anybody come into my child's life until I was 100%. I was very lucky that I have a partner now. She is someone I knew for 10 years prior to having my child. And so I knew the good, I knew the bad, I knew how wonderful she is, I knew her inside and out. So I wasn't feeling like I was bringing a new person in where 6 months down the road you find out those things you didn't know about. So she came into my life, and it was the right timing. And I really do believe that if we would have gotten together when my other relationship ended and I was starting to try to get pregnant, I don't think in a million years that relationship would have lasted. It just would have been too much strain on a new relationship. It just wouldn't have been the right time. And I feel like she came into our lives at the perfect time. Harper was about 7 months old, and it was the perfect timing, and it felt right. We are a very happy family. She came in. She is definitely mommy. I am mama. She is mommy. And it was perfect. It really did work out. And it just, that 4 year struggle of being alone, and, you know, it paid off, because I feel like I am with the person I'm going to be with the rest of my life. And I have the opportunity now that we are a family.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So wondering if you had like top tips for women, lesbians that are going at this on their own. Just if you had to give it, if a woman came to you and said, give me like 5 tips or 3 tips on what you think would make a difference for them, what would you say?
I definitely say doctor. Really like your doctor. Have someone who's dedicated to you. My first two IVFs, I was at a major university here in Utah, and I was rotated. Each time I'd go in, it'd be a different person. I didn't feel like anybody was dedicated to me. You've got to feel good about your doctor. And if you have any hesitations, definitely go research, ask around. The doctor I actually used that got me pregnant, had a commercial, and he was actually on Oprah, and my mother saw the commercial, and she's like, you just got to try one more time. I have a good feeling about this. And I actually went to him, and he just looked me in the eye and said, we're going to figure this out. And I had 100% confidence in him. It was night and day, and I wish I would have known about him sooner, but night and day from how I was treated up at the university, that I felt like a person. I felt like someone really cared, and he dealt with me being single, lesbian. He was amazing, and his gift was, I'm going to get you pregnant. And so I definitely say doctor, research, you know, knowing your options. With donor sperm, I think you got to think about if you want an open donor or not. I was definitely pro open donor. I definitely want my daughter to be able to reach out at 18 to have more research about her donor. That's something to think about, to discuss or know within yourself, because once you pick, if it's not a donor, that's it. Let's see, and just be ready financially, whatever backups you have. But I just say don't give up one way or another. You know, it just keep trying. And it took me 4 years, and it was the hardest journey of my life, but it was worth every minute of it.
Awesome. I can't believe you got a doctor of Oprah. That's hilarious. So he happened to be a local Utah guy, huh? Or did you travel to him?
No, but he's even closer to Provo, which is amazing. And
wow.
Yeah, and I think he goes out of Nevada as well. It is very difficult here in Utah to find doctors who will help single moms. At the university, only 3 out of 10 would see me. So
wow.
Yeah, so it may be better now. I mean, it's been 4 years. As we know, the times are getting a little bit better. But just the fact that I would call a couple different places and they would ask if I was married, and I'd say no. And I'd say, well, what if I have a boyfriend? I think they knew that meant it was a pretend boyfriend. They'd say, no, we will not see you. You know, dealing with a gynecologist or the OB that is comfortable with it. You know, you want people that you know support you and that they – you know, are treating you equally just as everyone else. And I really, really was very happy with him. And it was so much different of just the whole entire thing was so much different with him than it was at the other university. And it did make a huge difference.
That's awesome. That's so great. Well, congratulations. I mean, what a journey.
Oh, thanks, Elizabeth, and I support you with yours, with your partner, and just hang in there. That's all I can say. Hang in there.
We will. One of us is gonna have a baby. Sure.
There you go. Yeah, one way or another.
Exactly. All right. Well, is there anything you want to say before we wrap up?
No. Thanks for letting me ramble. And appreciate you giving this opportunity to everybody out there and you know, just those little tidbits that I didn't know about that took me 4 years to learn. I hope it helps someone.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Susie, so much for taking the time. I know you have a 2-year-old at home, so you need to get going, but I really, really appreciate you taking the time and to share your story, because it definitely makes a difference.
Oh, thank you.
Have a wonderful week.
You too.
All right. Talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. All right. Glad she shared her story. I apologize for being such a mess today. I have no idea why I cannot talk. I had a very clean and sober weekend, so it's not like I'm hungover or anything, so I don't know what is going on. But anyway, thank you for sticking it out on this crazy show. Hope you had have a great week, and we'll catch you in a few weeks. We're having, it's not totally confirmed, it's going to be confirmed on the 15th, but we're having a woman on who directed a documentary about basically women deciding to have babies or not, and the decision, and really what is it like to make that decision, because for everyone, it's not an easy decision. I don't even think that makes sense. I'm just going to accept that this show is a total mess. But anyway. So we're going to be talking about that decision-making process. I have had a couple reach out to me already wanting to have a show on the decision-making process to have babies. So that's going to be coming up on July 27th. I think it's 3 weeks from today. So that's the next show I have scheduled. So stick around and wait for that one. I hope you guys have, or you ladies have, a much clearer and cleaner and crisper evening than I'm having. Have an awesome week. Have an awesome few weeks. I love you, and take care.